You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Live from your White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Got Drew Nicholson in here helping us sound good this afternoon. Bear and Trey joining from parts unknown. Good afternoon, Bear. How are you, sir? Doing all right,
doing
buddy?
Just fine, Russell.
Good. Good. Trey? You with us?
Yeah, we're doing great today, man. Good to hear from you.
Good deal, man. Good deal. Got a good show lined up for you this afternoon. I'm glad we got two good guests coming on. Buck Rising. Who's Buck with, Trey?
Buck is with A to Z Sports in Nashville. Covers the Titans.
A to Z Sports. We're going to talk about my Titans getting it done.
Getting W's, baby.
Getting that dub, that late night dub. We'll talk to him about that. Barrett Salee, another A-lister, coming up in hour number two. We'll talk college football with him. We're expecting some breaking news this afternoon about the Big Ten. Looks like they're going to come back. Expect an announcement on that today. And I like having the two guests. Hopefully get some good calls and we get through this thing because I got to tell you, man, I'm exhausted. I'm just flipping.
I saw where you sent out a tweet last night around 1:30. Yeah. I was up.
I thought I would fall asleep, and it was such a close game. It shouldn't have been close. I mean, I feel like it's weird. Like the Titans, you feel like they kind of bent Denver over the barrel and showed them the 50 states, but the kicker just can't make a kick to save his life, except for when it really mattered. I don't know. It's just a weird game, and I stayed up. And then, of course, after that, you can't just go to sleep after a game like that. You need some wind-down time. So, I don't know. I feel like I got 4 or 5 hours. I was tired yesterday, and so now I'm worthless, like even more so than normal. But we'll get through it this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Bear, did you like that Titans game last night? What did you think about that Titans game, Bear? How about them Titans?
I didn't really watch it.
It's not what I asked, Bear. I don't care what you did last night. I'm asking you, how about them Titans?
Congratulations. I mean, your kicker sucks.
No, he's not going to be our kicker much longer. Yeah, we know he sucks. We won in spite of the kicker. I mean, when Gostkowski – it's a surreal evening last night. That when he's sitting there on the bench and nobody's within 20 yards of him, and he's taking his shoes off. Like, I thought, man, is this dude having a full-on nervous breakdown? Like, is he about to take his pants off on the side? Like, what's happening right now? Is he just quitting? Like, everybody, you guys seen The Royal Tenenbaums?
No.
No? Oh, man, one of my favorite movies. There's a scene in this where the tennis player has, like, an on-the-court meltdown, and he just, like, he's at Wimbledon, and he just sits down and starts taking his shoes off and picking at the grass in the middle. I thought Steven Gostkowski was going to go full Richie Tannenbaum last night, but he did it. He remembered who he was. He's a Hall of Famer. Sure, his best days are obviously way behind him, but and he's probably going to get fired here in the next week or two, but he made it what it mattered. Titans get the win. I did find myself thinking, like, this punk Drew Locke is not going to beat us. Like, that's not how the season starts. That can't be how the season starts. Drew Locke? No. You know that guy sucks, right? They act like he's good. No, he's not good. He sucks.
I was getting nervous, dude.
He's terrible.
I was getting nervous, though.
That's not an NFL quarterback. Like,
Drew Locke? I mean,
no.
He looked like one last night a little bit, didn't he?
No. He was terrible.
He's better than Joe Flacco.
I don't think so. I don't know. Like, you look at Drew Locke, you look at Trevor Siemian. That is your future. You are Trevor Siemian in 5 to 10 years. Who's another journeyman quarterback who's just
Brock Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler.
What about the guy that is the quarterback for the Eagles? No, Josh McCown.
But Josh McCown. You're one of the McCown brothers.
But he's at least been like in the league for like 15. It feels like 20 years, but
yeah. Matt Cassel, you're that guy, Drew Lock. I know he likes to act like he's over there rapping on the sideline, trying to act like he's got swag or something. It's like, no, dude, you suck. And you're not beating the Titans. We missed three field goals and an extra point and still beat you on your home field. You suck. Thank you for playing our game. Please go home. Marsh tells me that Aaron Medley has tweeted and said he's available. I just feel like kickers, how can you not have a competent kicker in the National Football League? I feel like there are hundreds of them out there. I feel like there are hundreds of kickers. Maybe not guys who can make 50-plus yarders, but like maybe those guys are few and far between. The guys that go out there and knock one through 52, 55 yards out. But like the guys that can make between 30 and 50-yard field goals, I feel like there's hundreds of those guys out there. You just got to go find one. How do we keep finding these clowns? I don't know. Obviously, I'm emotional about it. Drew, what do you think? Do we give him one more chance, or do you just move on?
Like, I know he hit the game-winning field goal last night, but the man missed three field goals.
I think
he missed an extra point. Like,
I'm sorry. It's the NFL.
Cut him off.
I think I saw his $2 million is guaranteed, so he made his money. It's not like we're taking his Super Bowl rings away from him. He won the game. His reputation is still secure, but we got games to win this season. We can't be having this again.
Just tell him thank you for his service. And leave him.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We'll see you later.
You can't get rid of a kicker who's making $2.75 million guaranteed.
Is that like a cap hit? Or are we just stuck with that? Can we? Well, you can go out and find. Again, there are hundreds of these dudes, Trey. You sign one for the rest of the year to a league minimum. Just go find one. You should be having a tryout today. You should have 10 guys.
They got one on the practice squad.
Okay, well, sign him up. I was texting with my brother during the game. We were up late watching, and I said, after he missed the extra point, I was like, if you have another kick, you got to let Brett Kern do it, right? Because, you know, the punters are always kicking. Hell, I don't know. There's a quarterback. Like, anybody else, you can't. You can't let that guy go out there again. You just can't. I guess that's why I'm sitting in here. And Mike Vrabel's making the big bucks. He's making those decisions. So, yeah, it was a crazy night last night, man. Crazy night.
The worst decision came from the Broncos not calling any darn timeouts with a minute and a half left.
Hey, it was not – neither coach covering himself in glory. I mean, what was that challenge by Vic Fangio after the two-minute warning where the Titans hit a first down, like, right at midfield? A.J. Brown was clearly down, but he was able to, like, spin around, and they didn't think he was down, so he got, like, four more yards. And they challenged that play, and it had absolutely no impact on anything. And meanwhile, you're absolutely right, Trey. It's like, dude, you're going to take those timeouts with you, buddy? You're going to take those with you? Leave yourself no time? Okay.
17 seconds left. 17 seconds left. That's all he left him with. When in reality, he probably could have left him with around 50 seconds. That's a heck of a lot better. Just straight dumbass.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody else has made this point, but I haven't been around the radio today. A.J. Brown has got to be just thanking his lucky stars that Gostkowski makes that kick, because he dropped the easy game winner, right? And he had a couple of – not a great A.J. Brown game yesterday, I'll say. He had a couple of catches, but he also had a couple of balls that he should normally catch that he didn't come up with. I know it was a tough catch, but we kind of think he's the dude who makes that play at the end, right? One-on-one coverage, Tannehill sees it, checks into it, puts it, not a perfect pass, but a pass that A.J. Brown's got to haul in for the game-winning touchdown, and he doesn't. I thought they were going to go for it. It was fourth and one, right? You think they were going to go for it? I kind of thought they were going to go.
I thought they were going to go for it, too, to be honest with you.
Whew. What a game. Unbelievable. Unbelievable start to the season for my Titans, your Titans, our Titans, ladies and gentlemen.
I did like watching Drew Lock play.
I'm sorry, what now?
I liked watching Drew Lock play. That kid's got a hell of an arm.
He's terrible. He's terrible.
What do you got against him, Russ?
He sucks.
No, he doesn't.
He's terrible.
He almost beat the Titans.
He will be out of. So what? It's the NFL. Any given Sunday, he'll be out of football in 5 years, guaranteed. He'll be out of football. He will be. I don't know what he'll be. Is he a pretty boy? He'll probably try and get on TV or something. He'll be back in Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, on like the Missouri Network pregame show. That's what that dude's gonna do. And then somebody will prop him up with a cushy job in Columbia selling cars or something, and that's what he'll do. That's that guy. He's not an NFL quarterback. Jeremy says Gostkowski had his $2.75 million on the Broncos covering the spread. yes. Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps.
At least he was man enough to do the press conference afterwards.
Well, he made the game winner.
Yeah, but then they made a straight beeline to the locker room.
I don't see why this is.
I don't think they've got a choice.
I'm sure he's got a choice.
Press availability.
Tell him to go bite.
I hope they had to.
I don't know. Do you have to in the NFL? I know in college sometimes the players just tell the SID guy, like, no. No.
Well, in the age of Zoom press conferences now, yeah, you could probably say, no, I'm good. I got something else up.
He wouldn't have been out there if he had missed that kick. Can you imagine if he missed that thing? Just shanked it. What's he doing taking his shoes out? Is he really trying? Oh, it's the wrong shoes. See what happened was I had my tennies on. I really needed to have a different pair of shoes, and I got the right shoes now, and we're all good. Sorry. Boy, do I have egg on my face.
You never know with kickers, man. They're, space cases or flakes.
Maybe it was. Thank God we've got Automaglia coming up this year. I feel pretty good about him. Do we go ahead and take him for a fifth year while we're at it, since this year doesn't count? You want him back, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
He'd probably get a job, though, next year. He can definitely get electric gig camps.
It's a good point. You get paid to do it.
I bet he can make money with name, image, and likeness doing like camps and stuff like that around Knoxville. And I'm sure somebody's going to pay him to be a sponsor of a kicking product. So, yeah, just stay
in Tennessee. I don't know. Lamar Alexander thinks that they ought to just that name, image, and likeness, those guys shouldn't get that money. That should be shared amongst all the student athletes.
Like it should go into a pot? I don't understand.
Yeah,
like
I guess.
Like the third string left tackle gets just as much as Trey Smith?
No, like the second string forward on the girls' basketball team gets the same as Trey Smith.
Because they just don't want to have to confront the whole Title IX issue. They just don't want to have to deal with it.
I would imagine. That would be my guess, but,
I thought these guys were supposed to be the Republicans. I thought he was a conservative. This guy in North Carolina says it's a terrible idea. I thought these guys were the let the free market work, let the, power of the individual take over kind of thing. And now they want to share the money the football players make with the female volleyball team? Female volleyball players? The soccer team gets as much as the football team?
Yeah. The guy from North Carolina who got the classified briefing about the coronavirus and then made some what could only nicely be called questionable massive trades on the stock market.
What? Yeah, I'll take your word for it. Anyway, it's we got Trey Smith audio to play for you on the show. He had some pretty strong comments about the Cade Mays situation, and there are rumblings. Maybe that's headed towards a resolution. I don't know. We'll find out. Who knows? It's been a crazy 24 hours. Buckle in. Anything could happen. We're with you till 6. Buck Rising, A to Z Sports in Nashville. Coming up next, we talk Titans when The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Russell, Barrett, Trey, cruise along with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. What a radio name here. This is Buck Rising of A to Z Sports in Nashville. Titans reporter joining us on the line. Good afternoon, Buck. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, boys. Thank you for having me on. I'm slowly recovering from my football hangover that I experienced last night when I posted my story at about 2:30 a.m. Central Time, and the nightmare at Denver that ultimately worked out in their favor. What an interesting way to start their season.
I just pounded two Red Bulls Ed Orgeron style to get me through the next 3 hours. So I feel you on this one, Buck. Your thoughts on what we saw last night from the Titans in Denver.
I mean, near catastrophe. The Steven Gostkowski three missed field goals and a missed extra point. Ultimately, you know, him making the game-winning kick from 25 yards out. But I can't even begin to describe what a nightmare the kicking situation has been for them over now, you know, the course of one season and into the first game of another season, when in the 2019 campaign they went 8 of 18 on their field goals and rotated through five field goal kickers. And one would think, you know, you go out and get a former All-Pro, a 14-year NFL veteran who just happened to have moved to Franklin, Tennessee in the offseason and is available. You go get him in September, and it'll work out, right? Everything's fine. And then everything falls apart in flames around you as he's missing three inside the 50 and what is an extra point that basically amounts to they should have won in more dominant fashion. And what I saw last night was a Titans team that has been in those games before, oftentimes on the losing end of them. And Steven Gostkowski, whether you want to call it redemption or just luck at the end of that thing, was able to keep them from totally being embarrassed.
So here we are after the first game and all the storylines around this team with Clowney coming in, Tannehill. I actually thought Tannehill played pretty well last night. Derrick Henry coming off his amazing season last year. And here we are obsessing about the kicker. But it is the story, Buck. Where do the Titans go here? Does he get another chance, or do you just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off today?
Well, they guaranteed his $2.5 million when he became a vested veteran at the beginning of the season. So they can't, as much as they might have liked to, cut bait. I guess the game winner allows them another week to decide whether they need to cut bait or not. They protected a kicker on their practice squad, these new expanded practice squads that we have due to COVID. Tucker McCann, the undrafted rookie free agent, and one would assume that they trusted Gostkowski, who was fine, made everything in pregame warmups, has been, you know, totally stable during the practices that we've been able to observe, less and less so now that training camp has concluded. But there was no indication that Gostkowski would fall apart the way that he did. I think it's just a matter of allowing him to get comfortable with himself again, coming off a year coming off a season where he had hip surgery, and he's just not been accustomed to going out there and thinking about an injury that he's coming off of while he's trying to attempt field goals. This was the most noticeable aspect of not having a preseason for these special teams guys to be able to work through the mechanics and the motions of what would be normal game day activities and just dropping them in there in week one. So they're going to roll with him. He's going to stick around, but it can't look like that again. I mean, that's just utterly unacceptable.
So he gets they're going to trot. You're basically telling me they're going to trot this dude out there again. I mean, let's be honest, Buck. If his name isn't Gostkowski, if this is Joe Gostkowski, if this is Steve Bartholomew out there, he's gone today, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had this game with the Buffalo Bills and Cairo Santos last year, like this exact same game,
mm-hmm.
and he was gone immediately. I mean, not immediately after the game, but he was gone very shortly thereafter. Yeah, they're trafficking in the name in a known commodity, or what they believe to be a known commodity, given Vrabel and John Robinson's affinity for Patriots castoffs, for lack of a better term. And this time it bit them, and it bit them hard. And not quite through to the bone in a way that cost them the game. We're beating up on him today. That performance deserves to be beat up on. But he was a consummate professional afterwards with us on Zoom last night in this new world of covering the NFL virtually. And he stood in there, took it, said he was grateful that he got the opportunity to be able to save that game at the end, but that he certainly didn't deserve it. And I'm inclined to agree with him.
Buck, it's Trane. I appreciate you joining us, my brother. I know you had a late night, and I saw your teammates up there trying to put together a periscope at 1:45 in the morning. So it was interesting. But I look at this Titans game, and I'd like your impressions on how the secondary did against Drew Lock. And look, it's a quarterback. He's still trying to feel his way through the NFL. But the secondary, and then also, you know, the fact that the defensive line, they were trying to get pressure up on Drew Lock. At times it was on, at times it was off. How would you rate the defense last night?
Subpar, I think, based on what they're, you know, based on the talent level that they have on the field. Now, obviously, that takes into account that Adoree Jackson got placed on IR, which he'll remain on for at least 3 weeks. Under the new rules, literally hours before the game, Malcolm Butler is a known commodity. Christian Fulton, and actually Chris Jackson, the seventh-round rookie, got the playing time over the second-round pick out of LSU, Christian Fulton. And ultimately, both of those guys had to see some action because Jonathan Joseph, their 36-year-old free agent acquisition at corner, had an arm injury that he was able to return from at certain points. Jadeveon Clowney, which has been the biggest talking point, not just here in Nashville or in Tennessee, but nationally, given that they seem to have landed the biggest free agent available this offseason at the last second in the six-month pursuit of Clowney watch that he made us all endure. He looked tired at times. He looked like he made instinctually good plays at times. There were also times when he was out of position, and Denver was able to take advantage of that. I think once they get more settled, I mean, and it doesn't help that the starting inside linebacker, Rashawn Evans, throws a punch at a tight end's head and gets disqualified from the game very early on. Like, given all of those things, injuries, conditioning, and just a blatant lack of discipline on the part of Rashawn Evans, I think that they held okay and that you like what you saw out of Jeffrey Simmons, certainly. I thought Harold Landry was disruptive as well. Given that they didn't have really the parts to be able to spell these outside linebackers the way that they want to, with no Derek Roberson and Vic Beasley still remaining just out there, I guess. It'll get better, I think. I think that's probably the most disorganized that they look, because that was not very indicative of a Mike Vrabel defense, and they still, on the whole, played pretty well.
Offensively, Russell was talking about Tannehill. I look at the running back situation last night in the second half. Yeah, Derek kind of broke off a few there and got the yardage up. But I wonder, running the two and running the three behind Derek Henry, it's not like he can go every single play, even though he might want to. How do you rate the running backs and the way that the wide receivers also played last night?
I mean, Corey Davis was a stud to start with the other positions. He, in a perfect world, this is what this offense is constructed to do, right? If Derrick Henry starts slow, if they're doing some things to remove A.J. Brown from the situation, then who's going to step up? Is it going to be Jonnu Smith? Is it going to be heavy utilization of Adam Humphries, the slot receiver? Corey Davis, a former fifth overall pick, was the one who got the call in that regard last night, and he often has good games against Kareem Jackson. Has just stiff-armed him right through the center of the earth on that play on one of his first receptions. That was fairly impressive, and they were able to get spread the ball out well. Tannehill had one incredibly ill-advised throw that would have been an interception if not for a penalty that bailed him out on that play. With Henry, though, I mean, they drafted Darrington Evans in the third round out of Appalachian State to be able to spell him, to be a more effective, be a more effective option behind Derrick Henry than Deion Lewis was. Derrick Henry continues to not be able to stay on the field in obvious passing down situations on third and five plus. Jeremy McNichols was the guy last night for them in that regard, and I thought he had a few gutty runs when he was asked, and I thought that's the dimension that I'm still looking to see more out of their offense over the course of this year, is how they utilize an athlete like Darrington Evans, because you can do a little more with him and add different layers, more intricacies to your offense in a way that I would have been excited to see had he been available. We'll see what happens with him. He's currently dealing with hamstring injuries that ruled him out prior to last night. But I think Derrick Henry, that final drive where they settled in and they ultimately got the 25-yard field goal, I thought they looked pretty comfortable. Like, I've seen the Titans lose that game a million times. And for them to be able to handle that situation, I think speaks to the overall growth and maturity of a roster that's really come into its own over the last couple of years.
Buck, the NFL as a whole this past weekend, it was I go back and I, for some reason, I can't get the image out of the Saints running onto the field and pyrotechnics and fire going everywhere, and there's nobody in the stands. And this happened all around the NFL, you know, without fans in attendance. I know you got to watch a lot of games on Sunday with crowd noise and whatnot being piped in, and then B, just the overall put, it didn't feel like much change when it came to putting on the game when they got started, but it just felt so weird with everything leading up to it, you know, the crowd noise, the cheerleaders in the stands. How long do you think they have to deal with this and go this route? Or is this something, let's say, okay, at the halfway point of the season, maybe we could start integrating some more fans back into these games?
I mean, that would be ultimately the hope. And, you know, the NFL, to its credit, obviously we've just made it through the first week of games. Like, it's truly a credit to them for the way that they've been able to handle the pandemic. It's a credit to the franchises, to the players and the coaches. Outside of Isaiah Wilson here in Nashville, the Titans' first-round pick who's making his second stint on the COVID-19 list and over the weekend got a DUI, which is not anywhere close to ideal for that situation. With the viewing of the NFL games, like, very rarely do I get to watch a full Sunday of football because normally the Titans are playing and normally, you know, it's a 12-hour day for me, so I'm not able to consume Red Zone like all of the rest of us as NFL addicts get to on a regular basis. Like, I really didn't notice that big of a difference because I'm kind of gauging it on, you know, the television product on the whole, and TV did a really good job with it. Like, I'm sure the environments, I saw a lot of reports coming out of a lot of different stadiums of pregame feeling flat and everything just being kind of eerily quiet for the in-game experience. But from a television perspective, yeah, it was weird to see them pan the camera around and there'd be tarped up lower bowl sections and fan cutouts last night in Denver and things of that nature. But after the first couple minutes and the action began, it really just kind of took your mind off of those things and it was football once again. And, you know, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo had the game on CBS where they did not, there was no crowd noise, no simulated crowd noise. And so it felt like Jim Nantz was calling golf instead of football like he normally does. But outside of that, it was just kind of a thing to watch pregame. Here in Nashville, they're not anticipating. They're trying to put together a safe stadium protocol to allow Mayor John Cooper here in Davidson County to consider letting them have some percentage of fans, some small percentage of fans, because at this point, they were told very definitively, at least for the month of September, that they would that would not be the case, despite other NFL stadiums being able to host a smaller percentage of fans. I think, you know, as long as things are done smartly, and the NFL has really, I mean, it's pretty easy to beat up on them on a regular basis. But on this, they've been on point. I think you will slowly start to see the reintegration of, you know, friends and family, as they did in Denver last night, to 5% of the stadium capacity to, you know, up to 25% where we're seeing in places like Jacksonville.
Buck, you talk a lot about the Tennessee Volunteers on your nightly show, mm-hmm. and you talk, you know, a good amount of college football and the Big Ten looking to supposedly make some kind of move today. We'll see what they do. We got about 2 minutes here. I'd love your opinion on the Tennessee Volunteers this season and what you think is kind of a benchmark when it comes to record. And also, does the Big Ten play football? And if so, are your Indiana Hoosiers going to be any good?
Yeah. that's my response as far as Indiana goes. And you can take from that what you will. The Vols, before, you know, leading into everything in this offseason, you were very excited about the trajectory of them. You've really started to see growth from that team over the course of that season, culminating in a bowl win over my mighty Indiana Hoosiers. I think that the 10-game SEC schedule does not make life easier on really anybody in that conference, but I think that 6 wins is probably a completely reasonable expectation given the players that they have, what Cade Mays' situation notwithstanding, one of the better offensive lines in the sport and veteran quarterback play, whether Garantano can remain consistent, is the question that kind of hovers over all of this. And as for the Big Ten, like this is the conference of my youth, the conference of my birth, and they are complete and utter embarrassment for the way that they have muddled this up and fumbled around and are likely going to, based on the hot mic situation that you saw in Nebraska, try and make a return to save all the money and try and save face. But I went to a basketball school. The Big Ten football does not make that much difference in my life whatsoever. But for their efforts that they've made on this, I don't think they deserve to play.
Buck Rising, A to Z Sports in Nashville. Check them out at Buck Rising on Twitter. Buck, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you jumping on.
Always fun, boys. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Titans moving on to – we're on to Jacksonville. Put this one behind us. We're on to Jacksonville.
How are y'all a 9-point favorite?
Because we're the Titans, and they are not.
America's team.
America's team. The red, white, and blue, baby.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know, Trey. I mean, I thought Jacksonville was more impressive than I thought they would be. But I guess just playing at home, and you got to think, again, if Gostkowski, we'll even give him one miss. If he's 2 of 3 or 3 of 4. Field goal wise, if he makes those 2 field goals next and an extra point, at worst the Titans are up 20-7 in the fourth quarter. If he makes all the field goals, up 23-7, and I mean that's a, or is it 26? Whatever, it's they. The game was not as close as the score would indicate, in my opinion.
I agree with you on that. I do. I think that the running game could have been a bit better in the first half.
Yeah.
I just think the division is going to be very interesting this year. And They've got things to work on behind Derrick Henry. So that's why I asked that question to Buck.
And I think Henry, too. I mean, when you're playing at that level at the end of last year, and then you have this weird offseason, and you have a contract negotiation and all this, that, and the other, and you probably haven't – I mean, he probably not tackled much at all, if at all, this offseason. It's going to be hard to ramp back up to that level immediately. I think he can get back there, but it looked last night like he was in that, oh, okay, I can't just pick up where I left off last year. I'm going to have to knock the rust off. Same thing with Clowney. Like last night was a knock the rust off game for a lot of guys. Thank God Tannehill was sharp. I thought he looked good. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. Stay with us. The drive continues. We'll open up the phone lines 865-546-8200. We'll get your Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. What did Trey Smith have to say about the Cade Mays situation, we'll hear from the big man coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group. It's real estate the right way. 865-742-1035. Online at bonoshouses.com. Oh, he's got his own theme song now underneath the segment. That's pretty cool. Trey Smith, a man who needs no introduction, meeting with the media earlier today. He's asked about the Cade Mays situation. Had some interesting comments about it. Let's hear from Trey Smith.
Coming to work every day. He's busting his butt. He's going to practice. I mean, the people who are making these decisions are just sitting in the meeting room just drinking coffee and just looking at paper. You know, so it's really asinine to say the least, man. We're talking about a season where eligibility doesn't even matter. You're not going to clear this kid. So at the end of the day, man, we can only focus on what we can focus. We can control the controllables that we can control. You know, the people eating in meeting rooms and wearing suits and walking around all day don't want to clear this kid who's busting his butt, bleeding, sweating, getting hit on the field consistently. You know, that's their choice and that's their option, you know. But at the end of the day, do right by a kid who's working hard, working his butt off and trying to be great. Coming to work every day.
About that. Trey Smith is tired of these suits sitting around in their offices with their mahogany-bound books, drinking their coffee, sipping their lattes, while a good old country boy like Cade Mays just trying to do good for Ma and Pa, just trying to play a little college football, get his education on, and they're leaving this guy twisting in the wind.
Absolutely ridiculous.
It's an outrage.
I bet they'd be singing a different tune if Trey Smith and Cade rolled up in their office and just sat there and waited for him to push their paper around.
That's what I'm saying.
Decision.
Let's send Trey up there. Kick the door in.
That.
I'm picturing that WWE wrestling gif where Stone Cold runs in on Vince McMahon in the operating room, starts beating him with the bedpan.
That was one of my all-time favorite scenes from WWE. I imagine it more like when I think Cade was there, the video that came out before he actually made DC where the I think the kid ended up at Auburn, decided to steal Trey's wallet. Football camp.
Oh yeah,
remember that?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So
put him in the beatdown machine.
Yeah, that was a Trey and Cade production, from what I understand. That, you know, the beatdown. So I cannot think of two people that I would want coming after me less than those two goons.
Trey, what's the latest? Any other news on Cade Mays or any of the other pressing topics of the day in Big Orange Country?
I'm waiting on confirmation on that thing. We'll see. The Cade Mays thing, they're hoping to have word by the end of the week if he is cleared to not. I will say this. Do not be surprised if Tennessee maybe pulls an Aubrey Solomon and knows that a player is eligible but does not release him. Just throwing that out there.
I've had a good feeling about the Cade Mays thing all along. I mean, it's fun to like talk about sending Trey Smith up to the NCAA offices and kick the door in and that kind of thing. I just cannot imagine. And maybe I'm naive, and maybe I'm just wrong. But I've just always felt like in a season that doesn't really count anyway, that they're going to let the dude play. That's my gut feeling. Not based on inside information or anything. It's just a gut feeling.
You don't think they're going to let him play?
I do think they're going to let him play.
Yeah, like we talked about yesterday, the whole Joey Gatewood thing seemed very weird to me. So, I agree. But Sankey does not like intra-conference transferring, so if he's got a voice in this, Bear and Russ, I don't know how that's going to go over. So,
people are asking about Daryl Middleton on Twitter. He's been tweeting. It was really vague. He basically said I'm coming back next year with a full spring and a full off season to play. So he's basic. So I take that to mean he's going to be playing in 2021 at Tennessee. Now, does that mean he's opting out this year and will be back next year? Or does it mean that he's going to continue playing this year?
Kind of feel like that'd be an opting out kind of thing. If he was going to play this year or next year,
here are the tweets.
Need to comment on next year.
Here are the tweets that just came out a few minutes ago. Ready to get back on the field. This is mentally draining me. You have to love this game. I will be coming back next year for a full year of preparation with a spring ball, summer workouts, and fall camp with my guys. I've learned a lot from our new D-line coach. He's the best I've ever coached by at my position. He knows what it takes to become a great defensive lineman, pushes me. Let's get better at Coach Brumbaugh. Knowing guys, I have guys like Toe and Crouch behind me, makes me play with an edge. So he's not saying he's it's weird.
But this is all weird. This is I don't.
I could see how people would read that and say he's opting out, but I could also see how people would read that and say he's playing.
Yeah, but why would he come back? Why would he say I'm coming back next year, and we hadn't even started this season yet?
Yeah, I think he's opting out.
Like, I don't get it. What am I missing?
Oh, man.
Am I missing something like that? I will be coming back next year for a full year of preparation with spring ball. Okay. This is where it started this season yet.
Oh!
I'm talking about – no, I'm just
– Call Trey, calm down, buddy.
No, I'm a little – no, it wasn't like that. I was just –
it's going to be all right. We're gonna get through this together. Daryl Middleton might play, might not play.
No,
well, we're going to be okay, Trey. One foot in front of the other. We got this.
I didn't mean it like that. I'm just saying these Twitter machines.
Well, we have been hearing him. Middleton and Aubrey Solomon are the two names that have been most rumored about being on the fence about maybe opting out. At this point, I would take one of the two and be fine with that. I mean, I obviously like to have them both. You've already lost Gooden. It's just going to be a strange year. And I will say this, if you're looking for a glass half full silver lining type situation, defensive line is probably our deepest position. That's the one position we could afford to have these losses. I don't know if we can afford to have three losses like this, but we'll see. That's your Rocky Top Report.
Okay.
It's brought to you by the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Online, BoKnowsHouses.com. That's BoKnowsHouses.com, 865-742-1035 to set up your free consultation. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, real estate the right way. You got something else, Trey?
I think I have something else. He's playing football this year.
Well, there you go.
But coming back for another season, which is...
Why would you announce that now? It's just so strange.
That's weird.
Yeah, I can see why people are very confused about that. But we'll go ahead and operate under the assumption that he's playing this year, which would be great news. He is a talented player. Big body, local kid. Hope he puts it all together this year. Do we still have T-Carp? Let's get T-Carp in here ahead of the top of the hour break. T-Carp, we got about 2.5 minutes. Go ahead, man.
2.5 minutes. To say, how about them Rebels?
Nah. How about them?
How about them?
Hey, West goes up to Jeff County and shuts them out on the road. It was a fantastic performance.
Congratulations to them. I thought you weren't. I thought you were Mr. or the Prince of Wokeness, and you weren't calling West the Rebels anymore.
Well, I think of my Rebels as more of a. Like Luke Skywalker and Leia rebelling against the Empire Rebels, not Confederate soldiers seceding from the Union Rebels. So see what I did there? Clever little game I play, T-Carp.
I understand. So did you get to catch any of the Maryville Alcoa game?
I didn't see or hear any of it. I mean, it sounded like a great comeback by your boys.
It was a great game. Alcoa, dude, Alcoa's defense is as good as advertised. Nix is a phenomenal coach. Alcoa's defensive coordinator is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Exposed Maryville, and it was a great game. Maryville fought hard, did what they needed to do to win. But my goodness, that Alcoa team, Bear, how many D1 players do they have? Like, and I'm not going to rag or anything like that. Like, this is a loaded team.
I don't know. I mean, are any of them getting recruited anywhere?
I know they're running back.
I haven't heard that much about them.
Their running back, I've heard, is supposed to be going somewhere, and then their defensive end is supposed to be going to Clemson.
I know they've got a really young offensive lineman that is thought of as like a potential 4- or 5-star player. So, I think he's a sophomore.
I just don't see. I don't see how Little Alcoa just pumps out so much talent. It's phenomenal. Anyway. Do we have our football players back on the team yet? Are they all practicing, or are we still quarantining for 2 weeks? Like, what's going on, Russ?
We got 2 weeks. We got 2 weeks, okay. T-Carp. They've got a handful of guys. It's a great question. We have not gone inside the gates of contact tracing hell. We'll try and get in there and see what's going on when we continue. Stay with us. Thank you, T-Carp. Have a great day. Quick timeout. Top of the hour. Top 4 at 4 coming up next. Right here, more Fan Run Radio on the way.
The Drive.